You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Okay, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, BetOnline, our exclusive wagering partner. BetOnline, of course, where you get all your action on NFL football, NBA basketball, and BetOnline AG is the place you want to go. More options to wager than anywhere else online. So online today, take advantage of all the great midseason bonuses, offers, and contests. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use the code CLNS50 when you go to betonline.ag. Once again, betonline.ag, code CLNS50 to get you 50% off your initial deposit.
Let's do it.
Draft night.
Number 45. Number 45.
This is everything.
Not at all.
I grabbed the wrong snack. What a bad start.
What'd you grab?
Nothing. I thought I had something better.
See, what happens when you don't have a first round pick. You grabbed a second round snack.
I'm not ready for this. I didn't do enough. I didn't do the right amount of
prep. You're on the clock and that's what you grabbed?
I did no prep. I didn't do enough prep. I went and got the wrong snack.
Was that a Nature Valley bar?
I was going for a Nature Valley protein bar and I ended up with some oats and honey. It's a bad miss.
That's Nature fifth Valley? Grade. Like your mom throws that in your lunchbox.
They're messy though.
You take one bite. You go to school.
Yeah.
This was a miss. So here we are. This is the biggest night of Bobby Manning's life. The Celtics.
Less than 1 year after the last one.
The Celtics holding 40. What is amazing is Bobby was texting us the other day. It was like a year to the day from the start of the bubble yesterday or whatever, which is bananas to think of all of the stuff that we've done over that course of time, which is just insane.
Two finals, two drafts.
I went and I added it up. It was 72 plus 20 plus the playoffs plus the whatever. I think it was 105 post-game shows in what was really a 10-month span because the Celtics have been out of it for 2 months now.
A lot of screaming.
Or something post-game shows in addition to all of the live news and this and that. And we're back here on draft night with the 45th pick. And it's kind of a bummer because they had to give away their pick here to dump Kemba Walker's salary and make your team worse. And now you don't have a first round pick and you feel that sting on a night like tonight, even though you're like, what are you going to get with the 15th pick or the 16th pick?
Yeah,
is it the biggest deal in the world? But it stinks because you don't that hope and that promise of like getting a guy. So here they are with the 45th overall pick. Nobody except for Bobby cares deeply about.
Well, you go from saying, all right, you can't get anything great with the 14th pick. Then you start looking at the 45th prospects and you're like, whoo, we're a long way from there. it's shaky down there.
It's a long way to go. And so, but Jimmy, get your thoughts. We have some
big
news that's going to have ripple effects in Celtics Nation. We'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, Jimmy, go.
Just to the questions that Bobby's been asking us over the last couple of months, it's like even today he was like, should the Celtics draft for need or should they go for it? It's like with what pick? Like, oh, with the 45th pick. Like, what?
Yeah, go for it. What are you going for?
Well, what need are you even going for?
No,
Jimmy, at the same time and maybe not shot down once a millennium.
Right. What are your odds without knowing it for sure. But your odds of getting somebody at the 45th pick that even wears a uniform in a professional game are low. So you can't draft for need. You're just
you need a better
dart.
Jimmy goes, just draft the best player, man. Just like anybody.
No, but then you
I'm
know,
eating
but
this. I'm eating this.
Just
I don't
to explain
want
how pumped Bobby's been. He's like, the Celtics absolutely need to hit on this pick this year. It is so important.
It's an important pick. Yeah. Well. If you're going the route where you have to really consolidate the roster, yeah, obviously, like, having a guy who's going to make $1 million or whatever the 45th pick would make is important. And you're seeing more and more really good guys every year go in the second round, and even undrafted guys. Like, I saw Chris Grenham's done a great job keeping track of all the guys that the Celtics have worked out. They've worked out a ton of guys who are definitely going to go undrafted. So I was saying in the chat earlier, wouldn't stun me at all if the Celtics even move back out of the second round to recoup a couple more later in the coming years. Or, you know, I wouldn't be stunned if they don't make this pick tonight, because you can get a lot of different guys undrafted, maybe even deeper in the second round, because these drafts just keep getting deeper and deeper every year.
Yeah, I mean, just look at the all-rookie team from this past year, where you got a guy like Jashaun Tate, who if you
undrafted, right?
Yeah, a guy that first-team all-rookie, and yet a year ago on draft night, you'd be like, who the hell is Jashaun Tate? So, right. There is definitely the potential to do some good things. But the one thing I think the Celtics have to do, and this goes for any team in the second round for that matter, you're trying to get a value pick, someone that's going to give you enough bang for your buck. You're not spending a lot of money to begin with. So to get someone who can be marginally impactful, and by that I simply mean good enough to step out on the floor and doesn't kill you when they're out there, that, to me, is a quality second-round pick.
That's better than half the players they had this year.
Keep it real, Jimmy. Right. That's Jimmy, speak truth. Speaking truth.
Well, the second round's going to be interesting, because you think about some of these guys that are being mentioned. Some guys are talking about, oh, yeah, he's definitely going to be selected. Other guys are saying, no way, he goes drafted. I mean, there's definitely a chance he goes undrafted. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Celtics do. But at the end of the day, like, the ceiling of these guys, or at least what next season's going to look for them, it's just not – chances are it's not going to be all that exciting, whether that means someone just making the roster, and just making it will may be a challenge, never mind getting valuable minutes.
Yeah, this roster is pretty crowded, right? So you're not necessarily sure who's going to be here, how much roster spots they need in free agency. There's a real chance, you said this earlier, John, that you could just stash the guy tonight, take another stash guy, and that's certainly something I'm keeping an eye on too.
Right.
And Danny ain't special.
The reality is, none of it matters. Like, unless the Celtics do anything dramatic and somehow move into the first round, which seems unlikely.
Which we did see a trade earlier tonight. What was it? Landry Shamet got the Nets from out of the draft to 29 for just Landry Shamet. So, you know, that's not a huge price.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy,
you never know.
You
don't know. Right. You don't know. Right. So crazier things could happen. I think the general vibe is they stick around, pick at 45, watch a bunch of other teams make moves. Where things get really interesting is what's happening right now with the Lakers, and things are already getting a little bit little wacky here.
Woj dropping bombs already.
So, like, Woj dropped two bombs back-to-back about a trade with the Lakers. Two different trades with the Lakers involving roughly the same cast of characters, one going out for Buddy Hield and the other for Russell Westbrook. And so right now it's not really clear. Everything is like agreed upon or like in principle or framework, but you got a deal that's basically a bunch of so-so guys in a first round pick for Westbrook.
Yeah.
It's Harrell, it's Pope, it's who else?
Kuzma
and the first round.
I don't know how the Lakers do it.
bunch of Jags. But I mean, it's obvious that despite the fact that Westbrook kind of really turned it on the last 20, 30 games, Washington is thrilled to get rid of that salary and be done with it. And that's that. And it's so fine. If that happens, the greater question is, if this happens now, Washington's in rebuild tank mode, and Bradley Beal's whole "I don't know if I'm going to ask for a trade yet" gets accelerated immediately. The question is, does it get accelerated so fast that he basically does the slapshot goalie thing and trade me right effing now and hangs up the phone? Like, could this happen like that? Or is it still, because right now draft night is always the best night to trade for a guy, because you've got those assets. Once you make those picks, Golden State, for example, 7 and 14, once you make them, they're the guys you wanted. You know, if you're going to make that deal, you got to make it. So is Washington, I mean, is this all happening right now? Like, could it all be done by tonight? Or how do you guys see this play?
I think it could be done, but I don't think it will be. I think the Westbrook thing will get done within the next 24, 48 hours. But as far as Bradley Beal, who, if we're being honest and real, he's the only one we care about in right. Washington. We don't care what happens to Russell Westbrook. But I think the Westbrook stuff can get done within the next 24, 36 hours because you have a Lakers team that clearly wants a player of that caliber. And you've got a Washington franchise that's motivated to make that move. And Washington knows that making that move is going to make Beal want to bounce. He's been pretty right. clear about that, that he right. does not want to do the rebuilding. He's done the damn rebuilding thing for all but maybe 1 of the 2 years, maybe 2 years he's been in Washington. Every other year has been rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. He's tired of that nonsense. So then the question becomes, and we'll talk about this, I know, obviously, is what does that mean to the Celtics? And specifically, can they put enough on the table to entice Washington to give up Beal?
Yes, I'm with Trot. I don't think they pull the trigger on Westbrook without knowing that they're going to get a call from Beal, you know, any second now, being like, you know, I want out too.
Dude,
what did you think was going to happen? Exactly.
Jimmy, but it comes down to what Bradley Beal wants at the end of the day. If Bradley Beal wants to go to Boston, if that's the top of his list or if his options are open. You know, if
well, Bradley Beal can just want out, and it doesn't matter because he's in the last year of his deal. So
no, I get that, Jimmy. Wants Jimmy out. If what the Celtics fans are hoping for is true, and that he actually wants to play with Jason Tatum, then you have to say, look, you could trade me somewhere else, but I'm only going to go to Boston after this year. Well, that's the only way you realistically.
He's not going to say that. He's not going to say that.
That's what I'm saying. Well, so I don't know if realistically that happens because I don't think the Celtics can trump a team like, I don't know, the Warriors with an offer.
Could potentially.
Team out there. I mean, unless you're talking about trading Jaylen Brown, which I just don't think the Celtics should do.
It depends how much of – that's the whole thing. It comes down to assurances, right, guys? Like, we're in Anthony Davis world right now, okay? If Bradley Beal would accept a trade and or, you know, the possibility to re-sign with 3, 4, 5 teams, then it becomes a bidding war. If Bradley Beal says, I'd go to Golden State, but I'm still going to test the market next year, then all of a sudden giving up your entire future for a team that has 2 aging stars with Curry about to be 32, Clay 31 coming off back-to-back season-ending surgeries, Draymond already kind of, you know, has been on the downslope there, and you've got 7, 14 Wiseman and Wiggins playing his first good professional year of basketball, and you're going to put all of those guys in a bucket, send them to D.C. for Beal, and then hope that he re-signs? That's the whole future there. Right. You need assurances there. You're going to make that deal. So while, yes, they might have a better package, after tonight they don't because they make those picks unless Washington loves those guys, and they can't really know. So if Beal's doing that whole – it's Boston or else. You look at the framework of this West. I never thought this before. I never thought the Celtics could do a spare parts deal for Beal without including Brown.
That's the route.
But now you look at this Westbrook deal, and it might be like, okay, Nesmith, Romeo, 3 first-round picks, and Smart, who you can re-sign or not, and some cap flexibility, and Rob or whatever. I mean, you give them the everything but Jaylen package. With a bunch of firsts, does that work? You know, and if so,
probably not.
Probably not. But yeah,
why is that so impossible to believe? Like, why would he not say that? Like, does he not want to play with Jason Tatum? Or better question, wouldn't he want Jaylen Brown to be on the team?
Yeah, that's what it is.
But wouldn't he want Jaylen Brown
himself like that? Though he doesn't have any allegiance to Boston other than the fact that he used to be Jason Tatum's babysitter back in the day. That's not enough.
If that's the case, then what's going to change his mind a year from now?
Well, dude, I
don't see it.
What I was thinking their best chance was, and this kind of hurts it a little bit, is that the Wizards would try to make one more run like with Beal and Westbrook and see what they could do. And then you might have a Bradley Beal situation that kind of mirrors Gordon Hayward when he was in Utah. Give the Celtics a chance to meet with him, try to convince him to play here. And, you know, obviously Jason Tatum is at the meeting and all that stuff. But now, if the Wizards are going into blow-up mode, Beal's going to say, yo, I'm out. Like, you know, I got 1 year left in my deals. Trade me wherever. You know, it doesn't really matter to me where. And, you know, I'll make my decision on my future when that time comes. And if that means that the other team gets less for Beal, then why the hell does Beal care? He's just trying to get out. So, like, there isn't this – he has no loyalty to Boston.
He has no loyalty to Boston, but that's the whole point is we don't know his mind. Right now, right. He might say, I want to go there. I want to play with Jason and Jaylen because they're young stars.
He might.
And that's – and of all the places you might trade me to or the places I might consider in 2 years – that's the one I want to go to. And if that's the case and he's made up his mind, then it's a done deal in a matter of like, then Washington has to find a way to make it work because they lose him at the end of the year.
Well, what's he waiting for, Sherrod? Like,
but if he doesn't do that, if it's three or four teams, again, now you've got a real, that then it becomes exactly that.
Well, it won't be the Lakers.
Bobby, you're talking about what is Beal waiting for?
Yeah, because you would think, especially with all the noise last week, that trade request would be coming any time now. But, you know, with what we've seen from him over the last few years, you're still not even sure he wants to leave. And that's what the organization seems to be signaling, that we're trying to put an even better team around him. Maybe Westbrook's not here, but we have more flexibility now.
Now he's got Kuzma.
That's the wild card in all of this. It's just, what exactly are the Wizards thinking? Because all of us are looking at them and saying, well, they're clearly looking to rebuild, but they may have a plan B or plan A that we don't know about that isn't about rebuilding. It's about reloading and unloading Westbrook to reload the rest of the roster. That might be the way that they're talking this thing out to Bill, which is why Bill isn't more demonstrative and outgoing about wanting to be out. Because again, I think more than anything,
bold first move.
Bill is trying to keep as many options as open as long as he can until he finds a situation that makes the most sense for him.
Because he can leave in a year,
right. So he may very well not be moved at all, but keeping in mind that a year from now, we may be in the same situation where we're trying to figure out what the hell is Bradley Beal going to do.
Yeah, and let's be clear. He's friends with Tatum, but I'm sure he's friends with other stars he's too. And that free agency. That free agency class next year is going to be loaded.
I just don't understand how, like, I feel like a lot of Celtics fans, they say the same thing you guys just say, right? Like, there's no way Bradley Beal would command a trade to Boston and say, oh, I want to play with Tatum so badly that that's the only place I want to go. But then at the same time, those are the same fans saying that, oh, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they carried this team to the Eastern Conference Finals back-to-back years. You know, so what's the disconnect here? Like, they're good enough to carry a team to the finals, according to, you know, a lot of Celtics fans, but they're not good enough for a guy like Bradley Beal wanting to go join forces with them. Like, that's the thing.
If Bradley Beal wanted to join forces with him, I think he would have made that clear by now. If that was his, so to me, that's what I'm saying. He's keeping his options open.
It's one
option.
He's keeping them open.
He's keeping them open publicly, okay? Right. Because you really look bad when you do what Anthony Davis did and just say I'm going nowhere but whatever, and that's it. And then you burn yourself in the city you always played. You look like you're a quitter, and you're manipulating the system, and it hurts your reputation. Beal might be smart enough to know, I'm not going to go out there and advertise it, but ultimately I kind of know where I want to go. So, you know, once I make up my mind, I might kind of force that issue, you know, and Washington will obviously say, can you give me three or four places so we can try to make a move? But this is what I've never understood. It does not make sense if you are a player to actually give your team that leverage because why would you want the team acquiring you to hobble itself in giving up a ton of assets? Because you're going to go to a place that now has issues because they had to empty the vault to get you. If you know you can control your future in a year, you kind of just want a free pass and a smooth ride to your next spot. And that's what you want to do there. I think the trade in advance is what? So you can, if they trade him early, he can sign a juicier deal because he was with the team before. That's his incentive for a trade, right?
Right.
Is that how it works? So that's about it. That's what Beal gets out of being traded this year.
You get the 5 years after.
You get the five. Okay, yeah, right. There's some incentive there versus just walking, but ultimately you got choice for the first time in 8 years in your NBA career. You want to exercise that choice. So it's either I'm going to do it in free agency or you're going to kind of clear my path to get there, find a way to make money work, and that's that. But I don't want you – like the Davis deal, while it was forced, was a shit ton of stuff for L.A. to give up for a guy that would have – you know, that would have –
yeah, it's why they were
– waltzed in there the next year on his own volition. So, you know, that was a lot. That's a lot.
If LA trades for Westbrook tonight, they're gonna have five players left. That Davis trade wiped them out essentially in terms of their ability to get better beyond that.
If Beal wants, let's say Joe Sway's wish comes true and Beal has been begging to come to the Celtics. Let's just say that is happening. But it's still up to the Wizards. I mean, they still have to do what's best for them, right? I mean, if there's another team that says, we want Beal too, I guess the risk is just the other team potentially loses them.
If Beal lets them know.
You can waste your time for a year, but then he's gonna go to Boston.
If Beal lets them know that he wants to go to Boston and they say, screw that, we're sending you out to Miami because Miami has a better package. Beal's camp, I guarantee you this will happen. They will put the word out that we're not going to re-sign.
We're not re-signing.
They're going to do the same thing Anthony Davis did. They're going to do the same thing. And so then it's
and that mixes the deal. If, in fact, they don't want to go, right?
Exactly.
That will
kill player empowerment, guys. Player empowerment.
But that's fine. That's the whole point is, like I said, is, you know, you have 8 years. There's the teams have your rights for pretty much 8 years there. And this is your first shot. So, like, this is where I'm always for – absolutely for the player to have some choice in the matter here.
Chances might diminish in a year, you know, when he's actually a free agent. It's like,
No, this is what you talk about all the time, John. The Wizards can lose him for nothing next year. Yeah. So this is actually setting them up to do something going into the future here. And you know what? I think they should trade him tonight. You know, get all those picks you can into the future. Get all the Warriors players. And I think that Warriors move for the Wizards – is a very smart one right now. And you can get Andrew Wiggins off maybe his best year ever. That's a solid little package to start moving into the future. And you can pick number 7 tonight.
If you can get Wiggins in those picks, I think that's something you would have to consider. But here's the thing. I mean, you know, it's hard to give up a great player. It's just if Beal's told them, I'm not resigning, really, no matter what you do, take what you can get, you know, trade him. And it gets worse as time goes on because he's more of a rental later in the year. You know, you've got a full year to bring a guy into your place, you know, do the Kawhi Leonard and it didn't work. But like, you know, the culture, you know, like play here, learn it, love it, live it, you know, be successful. And then maybe stay. That you got a shot. That's what the Celtics wanted to do with Davis. I mean, come here and play for you'll love it. It's going to be, you know, but it didn't work.
Hasn't worked for a lot of veterans, actually.
No, it doesn't. So it's risky. You know, like I said, we don't know Beal's mind, but, you know, Washington, you know, it's as much, you know, Washington has to trade him, but the other team's got to feel good that they get a shot at keeping him in order to get
him. Yeah, I mean, you can't tell me that every team that has the ability to trade for Beal is not calling Washington right now being like, so what's the deal with Beal?
Right.
You know, clearly you guys are changing your rosters around here. Yeah, the Knicks.
Knicks can get ahead on their little plan, it seems like, coming together. They've gone from Kyrie and Durant to Beal and Zach LaVine.
And that's the risk, though.
The Celtics' favor, you know? They get Beal... those pieces from the Lakers. They're like, all right, we'll settle for, you know, these chips over here, you know?
You know, if Beal goes to a place like a Miami or like a New York where they think that they can flip him based on, you know, the fans, the lifestyle, you know, here's what we can do for you, who knows how that's going to change his perspective. So, I mean, that obviously is the risk you take. But some of these big market teams, it's worth the risk for them. Because, again, you're talking about a top, 20, 25 player or something like that. I mean, go down the list, there's not many of them available at all. So when one comes around, sometimes it's worth the risk.
Yeah. The other things that are interesting here, you know, and we've seen this, the Ben Simmons situation is something that, like, again, you know, it's strange. We have not heard much buzz, but this is a mess right now for Philly. The reports that they can't find him, you know, the idea that he's so fed up there that they're like, you tried to trade me twice last year. And like, my name is all over the place. And the other guy, my buddy, you know, the other star here friggin' throws me under the bus and Doc backs that bus over me. And F you guys, I am gone. Okay.
So my text messages.
This guy's in the freaking wind right now. And Philly's like, okay, I'll trade you for him for, you know, 1989 Michael Jordan. And that, you know, like, I mean, they're literally what they're asking for is like they're trading the greatest player who's ever
it's
lived.
It's like that fantasy football manager who just sends you the worst trades. You're like, dude, F this guy. Yeah. Just now auto reject.
Yes, I'm not your friend anymore. Not only am I saying I'm so mad I'm not gonna reject this trade, and I'm not talking to you. Like
the team's
I'm gonna let this trade sit until you reject it.
Yeah, the report offered to Toronto was offensive. That was offensive.
Oh, my God. Was that offensive?
I'm going to gut my team for Ben Simmons.
Every good player you have and all your draft picks.
Yeah.
And you got Ben Simmons and no one left.
Yeah.
OG, freaking Pascal, everyone. They want to.
But we talked about it. I like the strategy because you act as if, right?
It's the only thing they can do.
You act as if he's still an absolute A-plus top 10 player superstar. And it's because what you don't want is other teams coming in here and offering the Marcus Smart package. How about Marcus Neesmith and a pick? Like, yeah, get the F out of here. You know, like, that's what they don't want. So they're acting like they've got a major asset. Right. But I mean,
a lot worse
we'll send
that.
Something back then. If you don't send me back a return trade.
You're a lot worse.
Right,
I don't even want your guys, man.
That's the problem. They're trying to act as if what you saw throughout the course of his entire career never happened.
Yeah. That's what John and Jimmy were doing.
Free throws never happened. Him giving a wide open layup dunk because he's afraid to get fouled never happened. Taking one 3-pointer like every presidential cycle. That never happens.
But I will say this. Fine. That's fair, Sherrod. But I do think we have a little recency bias here. If a year ago on draft night, the Warriors were going to trade the number 2 pick and Andrew Wiggins for Simmons, people would be like, are you kidding? The Warriors are going to get Simmons for that? They'd be like, they're going to be unstoppable. So, like, we've gone a little too far off.
And that was our point. Yeah, that's always been our point.
That's all we were saying. We've got a little bit off the cliff with the Simmons bashing. Okay,
it's his fault though. It's his fault.
He's not helping himself.
He's done just the opposite. He has consistently hurt himself. Listen, Doc Rivers, and we know Doc Rivers for much time here. Doc is one of the most positive guys. He will back your bullshit up till the end of time. He couldn't do it anymore.
He broke Doc.
he broke Doc. And then
when they hit him with that question, he was speechless. He didn't know how to answer.
When was the last time Embiid threw a teammate under the bus?
Never. And you know what? Embiid has done every little thing along the way to appease him and fit his game to make it easier for Simmons. It's like Simmons is a superstar there. I
figured out when you break Doc and Joel to the point where they both run your ass under the bus, and the same night, it's a wrap. I can't give you anything for that. You don't even have the guys who are in the trenches with you who believe in you. How the hell am I going to give you something of value for that?
Hey, and a team like Toronto would want him, would be in a good place to develop him and, you know, keep him in a place where no one's really watching. You know, people don't really pay attention to Toronto like that.
Sacramento, send him somewhere to the outlier, an outlier franchise. That's what
When that offer came along, we're just like, come on, are you serious? Like,
no.
they're making it. I know what you mean, John, in terms of like, all right, you got to set the bar high, but is anyone really fooled by that? I mean, come on. Like, these are professionals.
Closed mouth does not get fed. You got to ask for the world, hoping that you can get a piece of the world.
Because the team that wants him bad is going to bite. They're not going to say yes to that, but they will adjust that offer into something closer to it. And that's kind of why you do it, which is like, all right, OG and Siakam and 4 firsts is too much. But what if I did it for 2? And all of a sudden you're talking. That's how you kind of know it. And I mean, honestly, in Toronto, like Simmons could win Rookie of the Year next year. He could be awesome there. So that's a good spot for him. I'm kidding.
That is amazing when we'll look back on it.
He's eligible for the Rookie of the Year award more than anyone in NBA history.
he could take that down next year.
He was a rookie for 3 years. I swear, 3 years.
But
does he get traded?
So, but that's what's interesting is it's so quiet right now. Does it feel like a bunch of crazy stuff is going to happen and we're not like ready for it? I'm not ready for it. I've got the wrong snacks. Like everything's bad.
I was expecting Westbrook to go down tonight.
We've had a few trades. But does Simmons get traded? I'm not saying tonight, but like, do you think he's on the Sixers?
But that's the thing is like, this is when stuff, it makes sense to do stuff. Now it gets harder after the draft, you know, like it's, this is where you're dealing with like assets and the here and the now, maybe just unless you're dealing with picks that are really high though, does someone want to trade in for 14, for 7, for 11 here? Like how many people aren't even sure like if there's a guy worthy of going at 4 right now. Like how deep is this draft, guys? Like how many guys in here are franchise altering that you feel good about? 3? It maybe?
Yeah.
At most, right?
Yeah. The only two guys I feel good about are Mobley and Cunningham. Kid from USC. Those are the two I feel good about.
I mean,
really
one, there's really one above everybody, right?
Yeah.
Cunningham.
And then Evan Mobley.
And Mobley. People like Mobley.
I love Mobley.
You know?
I love Mobley.
I'm stunned Houston's going to pass on him.
I think, look, it is going to be the equivalent of Sam Bowie.
Why, Houston taking?
All over again.
Really? Jalen Green.
You don't like Jalen Green that
fact,
much?
Fact,
I
though.
I like Jalen Green. I love Mobley.
It seems very likely that Green's Houston's guy.
Mm-hmm. Is he related to Coutinho Mobley or no?
No.
No, but Jalen like Suggs is related to Terrell Suggs.
Terrell Suggs. Yeah.
Really? So he'll kill you?
Yes. And he's going to Toronto.
Yeah.
So people have been trying to tell me in the chat, by the way, and I'm not whatever, but Shams is putting out there Beal has no desire to leave the Wizards. So take that for
what I'm feeling. Yeah.
Take that for what it's
worth. If I were him right now.
But that's the right thing to say. I do think that that's smart because you start saying I want out right now, it gets really ugly really fast.
But John, if they just went out on a whim and just traded Westbrook without him even being involved in it, or like that wouldn't make any sense. I think there's a slight chance that he actually wants to play out another year in Washington and see what happens after. Because, you know, maybe the situation he would be going to right now isn't one that is taking shape yet.
Yeah, I have a feeling that he has been kept in the loop on all the Westbrook stuff.
He'd have to.
Yeah, I mean, if you know, just knowing their GM Tommy Shepard from years ago, that makes a lot of sense on how Tommy operates, and it makes a lot of sense when you have a player in the position that Bradley Beal is in to keep him in the loop, in the mix. Jimmy, what the hell are you doing, Jimmy?
I'm listening to the report, dude.
Yeah, we're doing a show here, Jimmy.
This is unbelievable. I'm like frantically going and like turning stuff off, thinking I'm like causing this.
You could hear that.
Yeah, I was looking at John the whole time.
Yeah, Jimmy, we
it's
can.
In my damn ear. How can you hear it?
I thought John knew and he was biting his tongue. I thought he was flipping.
Listen, I wanted to hear exactly what Shams said. I wanted to hear exactly what
Shams
said.
Going back
to exactly what he
and he said Beal right now has no desire to leave. So at this very moment, who knows?
Jimmy, right
remember,
now,
he signed an extension in Washington.
Buzzword of the night. Because remember earlier when Woj, you know, tweeted about the Pistons, you know, Cade Cunningham is their number one pick right now. Everybody knows everything that is reported is fluid. Decision at 8:05 could be very different in 8:10, 8:15. So it makes sense. But I think Bradley Beal has been kept in the loop on everything that's happening with the Wizards because I think at the end of the day, they want him back. And they're hoping that they can finally – they can maybe put together a roster that will appease him and make him want to stay. But that's getting pretty damn hard to do when you look at the pieces that are leaving. You look at the pieces that the teams around the Wizards are adding. And you look at the fact that, I mean, let's be honest, Bradley Beal is not getting any younger. He's not by no means is he over the hill or anything, but he knows every single year.
Coming into his prime.
At some point, you are going to be the OG in the building. And you're going to be looking around. No championships, not a contender. And then what are you going to do?
All right, but the right thing to do would be buy him for at least one more year, right? So I think I can see Bradley Beal doing that because he's going to say, well, at least the Washington Wizards are going to say, like, to your point, I'm sure they had conversations about this trade. I'm sure they said, look, these are guys that we think if they're not playing with the Lakers, they get more of an opportunity that could really complement you. Look what the Bucks had, you know, with Giannis. Obviously, I'm not calling anyone on this team a Chris Middleton, but maybe they can convince them that they're one of those, you know, pieces that could lead to the Robin to his Batman, if you will, you know, like, oh, give us one more summer. You know, we already got the starters to surround you with. Maybe we'll grab one more all-star, you know, next summer. Just give us one more time. And one more
again,
time.
Think about it from Beal's perspective right
Wizards
now.
Have to do. They have to it's, do that. They have to play that card.
But to going back to what Sherrod said, it makes most sense for him to say it now, because if he does say, I do want to trade, Washington like a- Mike, He looks bad, but Washington might have to get an itchy trigger finger and need to do something now. Send him somewhere where he doesn't necessarily want to be, and then he's there instead of Washington. If he wants to play it out or he wants to manipulate the situation, it makes more sense to kind of stick around and then ultimately say, I kind of do want to go, and I am going to go here, so see if you can make it happen. And you do it more amicably. So it does, like I said, it makes sense. I can't see your reasoning here. We've seen this Washington team. Like, okay, fine, they played with some spirit late in the year, caught lightning in a bottle. Why do you see any path to them rebuilding on the fly and building a roster to be able to appease him? It makes no sense. It doesn't make sense that that's possible right now for them. I don't think they're bringing in, you know, top talent, and I don't think they're going to attract anybody here. I don't think they're going to try to. When you do that, you go make a trade for a guy like Westbrook and say, look, I got you a second star. Is it this cool? Right. You don't trade.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't trade them. So it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that that would be something that they're committed to building around him. And that, and that they can show him that in time.
Right.
That doesn't. That's the hardest part. I don't see how they can possibly show him. Right. That, like, that's look, it. Look, look. Right.
Yeah, this isn't
like,
their roster.
It's not like, he has the Lillard contract, right? You know, this is it.
No, I actually thought that they would trade Beal, keep Westbrook around to play with the young guys and whatever else they get back, build them up a little bit, and then just let Westbrook go.
Westbrook doesn't build people up. Westbrook destroys, you know, like, look.
Hey, he brought that makeshift team in the playoffs last year.
He does it, but everybody else, once he's no longer in their orbit, excels. So yeah, Westbrook does not make players better. You know, look at that whole team. With his first triple-double year, everyone's like, he's got no one around him. And then Sabonis and friggin' Oladipo go elsewhere, and they're like, wow, these guys are all-stars. But, like, they were bums playing next to Westbrook. So
I don't know. All that's about to change, though.
And that,
good last year.
We watched the maturation Westbrook.
You guys agree Lakers have to be, like, 1-2 with the Nets going into next season, right? I mean.
Hey, don't forget the Bucks.
Bucks two, one, two, and three, whatever order you want to put them in.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers are pretty thin now if this deal shakes out the way it looks.
But they did it right before
free agency.
Build. They're going to get all those cheap free agent vets now to come through and play with LeBron.
I'm not so sure about that.
All of them went bad this year.
Exactly.
Everything was bad.
This is not 2015, 16, 17 LeBron. The LeBron that we saw last season is going to be the LeBron I think we're going to see slowly but surely over time start to not be as dominant, impactful, full thrust LeBron. And again, Father Time always wins.
He's not at that point, though. He's still a player that you can win around. And with Anthony Davis and now Westbrook, I just think you're a championship contender. Yeah.
But the problem that they're going to have now is that you're going to need those minimum wage guys to carry so much more of the weight than
this is like the Heat.
The previous LeBron teams have done.
Yeah, they'll need to do more. They'll need to do more for sure.
And they're not buying. Look, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. I'm going to pass on making 10, 12, 15 million to make 1.5 or 2 million or whatever.
I'm not saying that.
Knowing LeBron may not be there down the stretch. Knowing I'm probably going to have to play more minutes because he's not going to be healthy. When I could be playing similar minutes, making 3, 4, 5, 6 times as much as I'm playing here in LA. Oh, hell no.
No, I don't think the difference is 15 to 1 million, though. I just think they're going to get the breaks. If there is a player out there who's standing between a couple teams, like, they'll lean LA. I mean, maybe it's $1 million or $2 million less, whatever it takes.
I think that
the round out that rotation.
Be similar to what we saw where guys that were on teams that weren't very good but were really good players buy out, become free agents, and then collapse on that way.
You got competition for them, though. You know, the Nets will remain strong in that regard. The Bucks suddenly become a player for those kind of guys. So you have a couple different powerhouses in the NBA now that could siphon those kind of guys. You're right. You're right, Sherrod. There's not a LeBron monopoly on those guys anymore.
No.
I think this is like his last swing at a guy like that, though, right? A 30-point scorer, Mr. Triple-double.
Well, so here's what confuses me. I mean, this is
the firepower that he wants, though. He has another closer. I think that's what makes them more dangerous.
So this was a championship team 2 seasons ago. They essentially gutted that team, brought in some new pieces. People thought they were better. I know John was raving about them before the season. They had injuries, whatever. So now they're essentially gutting that roster again for Westbrook. And is Westbrook really like? I like Westbrook, but is he worth?
We do. Very, I don't know. We'll quickly forget that this team looked unstoppable for about 25-30 games this year. Okay, so they did. They really did. Everything kind of fell apart when the Stars.
But is that a reason to gut it after that? Like,
it's not. Right. What I'm saying is, we were really high on this team because they looked like a freaking wagon. So
they were. They did. Injuries caught up, like they did to most of the teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
Most teams that lack depth more than anyone else when those injuries occur, because you don't. You literally have you have nothing but empty peanut shells that you're trying to win with.
Yeah. A three-star team, the team that's put all its eggs into the big star basket. You lose people, you lose stars, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah, that's the risk you take. But you're going to have less back-to-backs this season coming up. Hopefully more rest for these guys, and maybe you can avoid some of those injuries.
Bring back Drummond. They went through that whole ordeal.
Man,
remember all the conversations we had about Drummond, and it played out in L.A. the exact way we thought it might happen here. Yeah. I didn't get enough touches. If I touched the ball as much as this guy, I'd be good as that guy. It's always talk with Drummond, and they're going to have to contend with that again. I don't know. I think the Lakers have won their last title with LeBron. I think it's going to be one for them.
What?
Too soon. Okay. What?
Too soon. I don't think they got the depth. I think, like you know, Sherrod said, injuries have started to settle in. I think this was kind of a desperation move. Like, you made a good move picking up Schroeder last year. Everyone thought that was a great move.
It was a good move
in the playoffs a little bit. And now you're going to be dumping him again. I don't like Buddy Hield that much if they keep going in that direction. I don't know.
Outside shooter. Space the floor a little bit. But yeah, he's got a big contract. Yeah, he does.
He made more threes than anyone they had last year. But I don't know. I think that's what they're missing. They need that shooter. You know, he's going to get an open look for days.
So Detroit has done, they took Cunningham, which was expected, obviously. Not a ton of intrigue because it seems like Green has been the guy. I think Woj is doing his little sneaky stuff by not tipping picks, but his little, you know, that little game that Woj does now.
He does the word.
He does the wording. So his wording on this, I believe, is that, that Green is the guy.
Long expected Green to be awaiting them at number two.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And he's there. They think he's going to be a star for them, you know?
So, Green just went.
He did.
That makes me laugh.
It is so funny. It is. I don't get how he gets away with it, but it is funny as hell. He's like, literally, this is my value. This is what I get paid for. You're going to tell me I can't do it?
Sherrod, did you potentially compare this pick to Sam Bowie earlier?
I think 5-10 years from now, and we look at the way Evan Mobley is just going to keep getting better and better, Jalen Green is going to be a good player. I think he's going to be a very good player. I just think Mobley is going to be better, significantly better. Yeah. Significantly.
There's a lot of good point guards in the league. That's not necessarily a ticket to being a great team, though. And when you look at a guy with great size and great impact at the, you know, big man position like Mobley could be, that's more usually a straight path to being a champion. You look at Davis 2 years ago, Giannis this year.
I mean, you don't have to go that far. You could just go to Marvin Bagley a couple of years ago as a more modern day example of the of blowing the freaking second pick. When you had Doncic sitting there and you freaking. Yes. You know, that's today's Bowie right there. That's a freaking disaster. Yeah. That pick, absolute disaster.
The Kings. In that
draft. Oh my God. You know, unbelievable. But yeah, that's a tough one.
No, Cleveland. You should have known. Once it became clear that Houston was taking Green, they were practically throwing a parade in Cleveland. So. Yeah. You know, that just goes to show how exciting Mobley is right now. And, you know, you even had people saying, all right, Cunningham's probably the number one pick, but would you even think about Mobley at that position? Like, Mobley has gained so much traction and love and, momentum over the last couple of weeks through the workouts and everything else that he's gone through there. And he had an amazing March, too. He was a great big to watch. I don't know if he's a transformative big man, but he is certainly one that can initiate offense, which is special.
Yeah.
So and we're talking about a 7-footer.
Yeah.
Not just like a guy with a 7-footer.
It's funny. Size is becoming a big deal again.
Look at that. It just a couple years, you went from Golden State death lineups a few years ago to back to size mattering again. So again, it's you got to be
Belichick
careful.
Rule.
Yeah.
You as soon as everyone zigs, you zag.
Right, exactly.
When everyone zags, you zig back.
Everyone's like, holy shit, I don't have a big guy. You know, like Team USA, for example. They're like,
Oh, shoot. Don't talk about them.
I know. But everyone, right. You know, let's play position. Oh, shoot. They're like, oh, shit. We can't need JaVale
McGee. We need to get McGee now.
But,
Where's my ring?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Rachel Nichols signing.
Oh, wow. she's doing stuff.
She's back.
Doing the thing. She's back doing her thing.
She's back.
Oh boy.
And there we have it. Russell Westbrook is officially going to the Lakers.
Really? Who's got it?
Bobby Manning.
Bobby Manning.
Really? Bobby Manning's got it.
Per Bobby Manning's source.
One day. And yeah, Mobley's going to Cleveland, so things are really underway.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the wrong one there. So they got so that's done. So that happened. We still think Beal doesn't want to go to anywhere. Man. So we don't know about that. I kind of want to hang out. So we're going to, without the Celtics having a pick, we're not really going to, you know, go through the whole draft here, but I think let's maybe hang around till about pick 7. Cause that's where the intrigue is going to happen. That, you know, Golden State is involved in possible Simmons and who knows what else here. And right now, if there's going to be a big trade for a star, I think it's probably going to happen there. If nothing happens there, I think everybody stays put for the most part, but we'll see. So right now we're through pick 3. We've got Cunningham. We've got Green. We've got now Mobley to Cleveland. There's some discussion. You know, the 4 is the first debatable pick, it seems like, but it looks like it's going to be Suggs most likely. Yeah. But there's other people in play here. So this is
Raptors.
This is where there could be a bit of a wrinkle in the draft. So we'll see what happens with this pick. And so on. Anybody else, Bobby? I know you've kind of looked at some of these guys. Anybody you like here at 4? Any player beyond Suggs? Yeah. Why are people not? Why did the shine come off him a tad?
Probably Mobley's ascension, right? Yep. So he just surpassed him. I don't think it was anything Suggs did wrong. In fact, Suggs was unbelievable in March Madness, just sheer will. Had that huge shot in the semifinal game, I believe it was. He does everything, and he's going to be the perfect replacement for Kyle Lowry there at the point.
Yeah, and even though, I mean, he doesn't have tremendous size, Toronto has shown the ability to be effective with small guards. When you look at Lowry, you look at Van Vliet, I think Jalen is going to fit in seamlessly with what they're trying to do. He's going to go through his rookie growing pains like all rookies do, but I think at the end of the day, for what Toronto needs, where they are in the draft, he's the perfect fit for them.
And you know who he's been compared to, Sherrod, is your guy, Chauncey Billups.
Chauncey Billups, yeah. Although I would say Chauncey's probably a little bit bigger. But I think Jalen, at the same point when Chauncey was coming into the league, I would say Jalen has a better all-around game. Chauncey was more of a shooter when he came into the league, and people weren't really sold on whether he could actually run a team. And truth be told, it took Larry Brown to just break Chauncey and then build him back up before he could really be kind of upper echelon playmaker. And Jalen, I think he's going to be really good. I think he's going to be a perfect fit for what Toronto needs at this point. So
and for our draft conspiracy people, you know, Toronto leaped up a couple spots there. I don't know if that was the league, you know, patting them on the head for taking that year in Tampa, but what a haul for Toronto to, you know, go from the playoffs, fall out of it, kind of get stuck in the middle here, but still get, you know, a top 4 pick out of it. That was huge. Great timing. I don't know if Toronto is going to be back next year, per se, the way they had been the last
year. But you're back, Bobby.
That.
You are back.
There's some buzz.
Yeah. Prime Minister's back.
Yeah, the Prime Minister is happy right now.
Yes.
Bobby Canada. By the way, not everybody knows this, but for a while, Jimmy Toscano had the nickname of Jimmy Canada.
That's very true. That's right. The video still lives, actually, on the
internet. Very good.
There's two of them. Yeah, there's a sequel.
Somebody go search Jimmy. You guys should go search Comcast Sportsnet Jimmy Canada.
I don't know if it's on YouTube or if it's just in the CSN archives
out
somewhere.
There. It's good stuff.
Jimmy's like, I haven't watched it every once in a while, you know.
It's a hockey based. It's a hockey based movie. Yeah, it's a good plot line to it.
It's really good plot line. There's you know, it's
so the Lakers.
Some good acting. It's very good.
Any of our Gun Report fans dig it up, I'll be very impressed. Actually.
Check it out. Jimmy Canada. Good stuff. Anyway, go ahead.
So the Lakers do end up giving up 22 tonight along with all those players. So the Wizards got a first-round pick out of it. But still, those players, Kuzma, KCP, Harrow, what are the Wizards going to do with those guys? It's not like you can flip those guys for something better, you know? Like, those are just – those are role players that the Lakers didn't want anymore.
They're literally fillers.
Whoa. Don't let Kyle hear that from you, Bobby. He's on Tatum's level, reportedly. Allegedly.
The Kuz.
Yeah. Oh.
But you got his ring.
If you're watching, that's what you're telling. That's what you're telling Bradley. Hey, you just need to unlock him. All right, that's your job. We got this guy.
What a stunning trade! I don't.
Who else is getting picks tonight?
You got to lead with that. You got to lead with Kuzma. You got to be like, listen, I believe in this guy.
What's up, John?
Who else is tipping picks tonight? I still don't see. We don't have four yet. We still don't have that pick.
Still waiting. I mean, I don't think they've done the – have they done three on the broadcast yet?
Sham says – do you want me to say it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Scotty Barnes.
Wow. Just saw that.
Really?
Scotty Barnes.
All right. I wonder if that says anything about Pascal Siakam's future, because obviously he's been floated around in trade talks. And
here's one.
Those guys are the same position essentially.
Perk just called Mobley a modern day Bill Russell, and Celtics Twitter is absolutely Twitter is dying right now.
Somebody get eyes on Nick. Keep him away from Windows.
Celtics Twitter is arming itself right now. Okay. They are gonna storm, you know, ESPN headquarters for something like that. You can't say that. Tommy Heinsohn called Greg Stiesma, compared Stiesma to Bill Russell, and he got away with it because it's Tommy.
Yeah. He was right at that. He was right then.
Yeah.
But this guy's crazy. Right. Yeah.
Every time people talk about Rob's shot blocking ability, they try hard to kind of say it without saying it. It's kind of like Bill Russell, but it's like we can't call Bill Russell.
You know, next year you're going to be the guy who's going to say it. You're going to say it.
I might say it now.
You're going to say it next
year. Better than Bill Russell.
Early next year.
Better than Russell.
Woj says the Pacers have acquired.
That one game he has like five blocks. You're going to say it.
Woj says the Pacers have acquired the 31st pick from the Bucks. He doesn't say for what, but that's what he says.
Cash, most likely.
So Pacers have a late first round pick coming to them.
Interesting. So that's a wrinkle, first wrinkle in the draft.
That's a huge wrinkle. I mean, Green was. You had four players in this draft, essentially, at the top, like you did last year. Cunningham, Mobley, Green, and Suggs. I don't know.
There's 5% of me that thinks that the Celtics are going to trade for Beal in, like, 5 minutes. Like, you know, I'm, like, afraid to hang up here. I'm afraid to get off the air. It's like, I don't know. I got a weird vibe.
Wouldn't be surprised if Orlando took Kuminga at five. Would not be surprised.
So Green keeps sliding in that case.
I don't think Green will slide I don't think he'll slide any further than OKC. Maybe Golden State, but definitely not out of the top seven.
Yeah, OKC would be thrilled in that case. Obviously, they lost the lottery there.
Like I said, this is a guy who, you know, at the end of the year was in consideration for the one pick. I just felt the momentum kind of slipping here, that the interest wasn't nearly as high as
Chad,
it was. So
Chad Ford said he's been hearing that Barnes was Masai's guy and the front office was torn.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype with Barnes, but he doesn't have a shot. And he really had, like, people got excited by Flash as a point guard when he was playing at Florida State. And there's another Florida State guy to really just explode up the board. But I don't know. He hasn't put it all together yet the way Suggs has. I'm very surprised by that pick. But he is potentially –
you got Siakam and OG, and OG seems like a keeper. So that does – to me, that feels like Siakam could be the odd man out.
Unless you're going Wing City, like switch everything, have all great defenders every position.
Wing City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wings over Toronto. I guess it's possible.
Speaking of wings, that's a good spot.
He's a really good defender, though.
So
Scotty,
now
he can defend all five spots. really good defense.
If you're Orlando, I mean, you're obviously happy, but at the same time, I mean, there's got to be teams calling them right now, right? Who are looking to maybe jump up to five and take
Celtics. For sure, right? Yeah.
They're in a good spot.
Celtics trivia. Barnes, picked fourth overall, is the highest drafted FSU player, tied with two others who also went at four. One of them is a Celtics legend.
Cowens.
There it is. There it is.
Sure, Dave, I know his history.
All right, guys.
I love
cool.
Dave. I love Dave.
I know his history.
He went to Florida State?
Yeah.
And Patrick Williams. Patrick Williams is the other.
Yeah. I didn't know that Cowens went to Florida State. But, yeah, they've that's a football school that's really built a underrated basketball cachet.
Yeah.
Terrence Mann, who was great in the playoffs too, went there.
Yeah.
So
Isaac, who hopefully will be able to be healthy enough to play at some point for Orlando.
Suggs went to Orlando. So we're there. We're there at five.
You got that one already?
Suggs is Orlando. Geez. Yep.
All over it.
I broke it.
Yeah, what a slide for Suggs.
What does the Barnes pick do to Orlando's, like, I mean, Toronto's depth chart, like, in terms of, like, now maybe they're looking to make some trades here?
Yeah, that's what we're saying, is like they're kind of wing city there, so things could get a little goofy. Right. Yeah, Woj, with Scotty Barnes off the board, Orlando has Jalen Suggs on top of its draft board. Yeah. So yeah, it'll be Suggs there.
See, the thing about Scotty Barnes, though, you got to remember,
Markelle Fultz, Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs. Again,
RJ Hampton.
A lot of clusters there. And again, I don't think Orlando expected that to be there for them, but then they couldn't pass it up. But that's what you got.
Well, Scotty, you know, he can be a playmaker in the same mold as like a Ben Simmons type. As far as a guy that's not a great shooter, but can run your offense, can initiate, can have good court vision. I thought that they really needed a guy who could get buckets.
Yeah, you need a more complete player. And I know, you know, like you said, Sherrod, Suggs had some concerns, the size you mentioned. His shot wasn't all there last year, but he could really defend. He could really play a bunch of different positions in your offense. And
does he make you – is he, like, elite, though? Like I said, is your – you know, did you – I'm not comparing it, but do you feel like you took Marcus Smart here?
There's a chance Barnes' defense could be better than Suggs' offense, but yes. I don't see Barnes' offense coming together. So you're basically looking at a guy who could be like a, you know, at his best, a Draymond Green type for your defense, not the Green on offense, which is obviously what made Green special.
Right.
Yeah. So Suggs five, and what are we now? It's kind of where things get a little bit interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Book Knight's been flying up draft boards at this point out of UConn. Kuminga's obviously been a big deal for a while here now, and then you get into kind of your role player portion of the draft after that. But you know, Josh Giddey has been really exciting. People, an overseas prospect, a point guard. But yeah, after that, it's mostly role players, and it is a deep draft of role players. But you know, you're really getting past your transformative guys fast now.
Orlando's got a lot of point guards. Think the Celtics could knock on that door there? Anybody you like could pry free?
You want Fultz?
Kinda. I kind of do.
Stop it.
I kind of do.
Come on, John. You're better than that.
Stop. Bring him back. we can bring back all those pictures of him with Danny in the Chipotle.
Guys, I like stories. I've been clear on this before. I don't know whether it would work or not, but I love stories. It'd be fun. I like that, you know?
He would love the same line and be like,
I want to pull up that clip where I ambushed him after his workout in Boston. There's literally no one there but me and him, and he had this look like, who the hell are you?
Right. Yeah. Are you allowed to be talking to me?
Yeah. That's who I am.
Yeah.
He's like, you Boston media aggressive. Jeez.
That was when, the C's weren't telling anybody about the workouts except Sherrod. Except the
Sherrod was taking Sherrod's finding stuff out.
The home channel.
Sherrod was finding stuff out.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a team that's got lots of point guard situations there. So that's an interesting thing. What else are we seeing here? Again, I'm seeing no buzz on six. And again, I did want to hang out here because I think Golden State's that team that might have been willing to move. And they pick at seven, like I said, as I think you might not see many more trades. You're not going to see huge stuff happening tonight. Not going to see huge stuff.
Right.
Goodman says Orlando hit the jackpot with Jalen Suggs falling into their lap.
Goodman falls in love with players for sure.
Yeah, he does.
And so,
you're thinking about these suits. Jalen Suggs, shiny suit.
Looks like a shark.
The Bucks got 54-60 and a future second in exchange for the 31st, which I don't fully get, but okay. Whatever.
You're right, yeah. Josue. That thing is shiny.
Yeah. Cool.
So just to let everybody know at home what we're planning on doing right now, without the Celtics having a first-round pick, we don't have anything to talk about here in the first round outside of there being a massive move. So kind of our plan here, whoever's left over at the end of the night, if the Celtics just go about their business and then pick at 45, some of us will pop back up here. We'll analyze the pick. Whatever happens, happens. And if that's the case and that's all we've got, then that's all we've got. But if there's a trade or something else, we're going to hop in right away. If they trade into the first round or there's a big player sort of trade, then we would definitely kind of come in there and talk here. Hold on one second. I'm going to pull something up here and I'm going to let Bobby have his like 2 minutes of fame here.
Nice.
Here we go.
Not fame as
Bobby
much
big
as
board?
Not ready. He's like, what's going on?
Bobby, big board.
Bobby's going to big board it. Bobby, why don't you talk through some of the guys.
The triple B. Bring on the triple B.
Some of the guys.
Are we skipping?
Baby.
Bobby Bigfoot.
We scored.
Three Bs.
Yeah. Hold on.
We skipping ahead to 45 already?
We are. Yeah.
Top five at 45, according to Bobby Manning.
Let's go.
Oh, nice graphic there.
I know. There
it is.
I
wasn't expecting that.
I can tell you right now. Sexy. I can tell you right now, I want JT Thor.
I want Thor. How do you not want Thor?
Oh, man. There is a lot of possibilities for weird Celtics Twitter with him.
Yeah. Wait, has Celtics Twitter fallen in love with like a really thick and jacked guy yet or somebody, you know, like nothing
there
yet?
There is a
right?
guy at that spot. Deshaun Nix, I think his name is, huge point guard, bigger than Kyle Lowry, so he would fit that mold. But
yeah, but all right, go through some of these guys here. Is this
these guys?
Is this in order that you like?
Yeah,
them?
this is in order. These guys are really solid. All right, why is Reeves at three?
Quickly,
I like Reeves.
Quickly,
me too.
Edwards,
me too. Why is he at number three? What's going on?
So part of it's that I don't think he'll be there. I think he's going to be a borderline first round pick, and then second is he's a lot like Pritchard, right? You know, shoots off the catch, handles the ball a ton, playmakes. Yeah, he's a better scorer, I think, than Pritchard all around. This is a guy that can finish at the net and do all kinds of stuff in between. But I do wonder how much they'd kind of smash into each other at that position. Again, you do kind of shoot for the home run at this position and don't really care about what you have in tow already. But I don't know. I do like these guys. Kessler Edwards, who's a great shooter and a great defender. And Joel, I don't get the pronunciation on this one yet. Ayayi, I think it is, out of France.
You could have won it, and no one would have noticed.
Yeah. Just with confidence, dude. Just
whatever you want,
Joel,
man.
Joel Ayayi.
Another Frenchman for the Celtics after years. Evan Fournier might be back. Yep. He's really good. He can shoot strong. He can handle the ball. He can facilitate. My one and two there are guys who I'm surprised. Because normally when you're picking a guy this deep in the draft, like one side of the game's dead. Like Reeves can't defend, Thor can't play offense, and Jones can't even shoot.
Sweet.
But other than that, they're great pickers.
These guys sound awesome.
So
You did good.
My one and my two here, surprisingly, can play both sides of the floor. Edwards, I think, has 7 feet wingspan. Yayi, I think, has the same. So, you know, you got good defenders there who can play the wing, who can shoot. And handle the ball a little bit. I'd be thrilled if Ayayi came to the Celtics because he's really like a pseudo point guard who can initiate offense for the second unit.
Are these guys like first year, second year, seniors? What do we got? Mixed, all mixed in?
Yeah, mixed bag.
Are any of them a reach at 40? Like, not a reach. Are any of them likely to be gone by, like, very, like, more likely
Reeves,
to be way gone by 45. Yeah,
and he's a senior. He did all 4 years. Well, he transferred. Yeah. So.
Transfer, right.
Yeah, Reeves and Thor are the guys that could be gone. Thor's 30. Yeah, Thor's obviously a young guy. I think he's 18 still.
Wow.
But like his 7'3 wingspan, I think he's 6'9, 6'10.
Stop it. Nope.
Like he's got incredible measurements and a ton of explosion. So he's a guy that could be gone too. But all the three other guys are easily there.
I want to get back to it real quick. The Westbrook deal. Sorry.
What we got?
No. OKC takes Giddey.
Okay.
Ooh. Giddey, Josh Giddey. He's been exploding at people's boards. He's like a floor general point guard from, where is he from? I want to say Belgium. Is that where he's from? I don't know. But he's got a lot of momentum the last couple of weeks.
Very quickly, and I wanted to read a thing here.
Australia. He played in Australia.
A very quick, this is one man. This is Kevin Pelton for ESPN. Just one man's quick trade grade for the Russell Westbrook trade. He gave the Lakers a D. Okay.
What?
A D. And so this is near and dear to me because it's one of my favorite shows. But his opening paragraph, this trade reminds me of a classic scene from the sitcom Arrested Development that's since become a meme. And basically one guy's going in there and he's talking about him and his wife having an open marriage that's never worked for anyone. And it's never worked for anyone. And he goes, but it might work for us. And that's how he kind of described this thing is like, this hasn't worked anywhere, but it might work for us. And Westbrook is the classic might work for us sort of player. But they gave him a D for this.
That. That's aggressive.
He's a polarizing guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. How much better are they going to be when you gut your entire damn bench and you bring in Westbrook?
I'm going to tell you this. I think it's just as good that Westbrook's going to be the last man standing in LA and LeBron and Davis are like, I'm getting the F out of here, than it is that this helps them win a championship. That's my opinion. But a flat D and the Wizards get an A.
Well, we know what Westbrook is at this point, kind of. His shooting's gone.
Three contributors replenish their depth. They're going to lose, they were set to lose guys in free agency. So they can kind of keep the ship afloat here, straight A versus a D. It's a very definitive, whether you agree or not, most people kind of hem and haw or hedge their bets a little bit. You get a lot of B minus B plus grades here. And like that way you can say, it ended up a little worse. You come out here flat out and say, this is a D borderline F trade for the Lakers, a desperate trade. It's interesting. It's an interesting take. But yeah, I'm not a Westbrook guy. You guys know it. I know you guys were singing his praises. Sherrod liked him. You guys liked what he did late. I can't stand him. I think he makes everything worse. I think
he's going back home, though. He's going back
I think
home.
It's just a bad, 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 bad fit. And again, this is weird superstar ego shit where it's like everybody thinks that everybody's 5 years younger than they are and like, oh my God, me and Russ and blah, 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 we're unstoppable. And like Russ can't shoot and he's not nearly as explosive as he used to be. And LeBron can barely walk now, So like, I don't think that this, I'm not
we're
saying
going that. Overboard that LeBron thing.
I love LeBron. I take it back. LeBron, I freaking love. But I mean, again, you're talking about a guy who's still miles on the tires, miles and miles and miles on the tires, guys. And then Davis, who's got history of injuries and coming off of what he's got here. This is destined to go horribly wrong. Right. Yeah.
That's the thing that makes this risky because if that happens, if he goes down
and I do take it back,
they don't reach the promised land. Yes. What's everyone going to say? Oh, Russell Westbrook, he couldn't be that guy for LeBron, or he wasn't enough, or you needed those 3-4 role players to step up, and they would have done better with those guys.
Yep.
So could happen too. It's a risk.
Yep.
It's a big risk.
So Giddey goes sixth, which means Golden State is on the clock. And again,
this is the
fingers crossed. Fingers crossed, Celtics fans, that in 2 minutes we don't have a graphic on the screens that says, report, trade in place for Bradley Beal. Because right now, this is where it's kind of interesting. And assuming it doesn't happen, like I said, we'll wrap it and we'll come back when something does happen. But again, I don't know. This Lakers trade shocks me. Like, we didn't see this coming at all. So I guess, brace yourselves for anything here. Nothing would totally surprise me.
Me neither. I mean,
But I mean, let's be honest. This is the type of deal that the Lakers like to do. Deals that on the surface have a lot of sexiness and appeal and razzle dazzle. But then when you start kind of combing through the weeds and you realize, wait a minute, we just got a guy who's in his 30s who can't shoot, who can rebound. There's a reason why he's a good rebounder. He misses so many damn shots.
What's wrong? He's not Karl Malone. He's not yet. He's not that old.
I saw Karl Malone at the end of the road, and it was
Lakers,
not
the Lakers. Karl,
Russell
yeah,
is not. I agree. Russell is not there yet, but he ain't that damn far away either.
Yeah, that's the thing. This is a 2-3 year window. He doesn't know that though, right? Russ is going into this being like, "Oh, this
Russ got seven or eight left in him in his mind."
Yeah, but yeah, the Davis part is what scares me too, because now you're trading away pieces or assets potentially down the road.
I'm not thrilled about the Lakers.
You're them healthy is so scary though.
You're not thrilled about what?
I haven't been thrilled about the Lakers in a couple of years now. I think they're older. I think they've really just lost all their depth here. I don't know how they're going to replace it. Because, again, you lose a couple guys on the edge of your roster, fine. This is their roster right now. LeBron, Davis, Westbrook, Alonzo McKinney, and Marc Gasol. Where are you going from there? I know you could bring back Schroeder, but how does Schroeder fit next to Westbrook now? You bring back Caruso, great. You can bring back Drummond. That didn't really work. The guys who they have floating in free agency still are probably more loosely tied to the roster and didn't really work as the guys they sent out. And in fact, KCP was a great role player for LeBron. Awesome shooter and defender. A guy you send out in Harrell was pretty good for them last year. Some of their best lineups were with him on the floor. And Kuzma, I know people gripe like crazy about him, but that's a good two-way forward, productive starter in this league. And now, is Westbrook worth what we talked about with Beal, Brown, and Tatum? Would it be worth eliminating your whole roster to have those three? And now you're asking that question about LeBron, Davis, and Westbrook, which with Westbrook, I don't know. He's going to have to do a lot. He's going to have to become a lot more versatile.
A Tatum, Brown, Beal trio is much better than that, even though obviously LeBron and Davis are still top 10 NBA players just based off of the shelf life and the longevity.
And the shooting.
Yeah, and the shooting, of course. You still got guys who have yet to hit their prime, and a guy in his prime versus two people past their primes and one guy in it but having some major health issues. I don't think it's particularly close there. What do you got, Jimmy? I can't see that phone.
Yeah. I just wanted you to stop talking.
Yeah, stop talking.
Shams reports that Golden State is going to make their pick, Jonathan Kuminga at number 7.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
He's another guy who was probably higher before this year than going through it. In fact, so he played on that G League team, the pro team that was Jalen Green and a couple other guys who are going to go in the draft tonight who skipped college. He's young. I think he's one of the younger guys in the draft at 18, 19. Has a lot of the explosion features that you see from big wings a lot of times at the top of the draft. Who are some guys that fit this mold? I think Derek Williams is a guy like that once. There's always a really big explosive forward at the top of the draft. And unfortunately, a lot of times that explosion and athleticism and length and all the measurables you look at going in don't really translate in the basketball stuff. And that's kind of where Kuminga's at. I think that's why he slid to the spot. And I don't know. Who's one of those guys that's worked out, Sherrod? It's a thin list, and a lot of them are busts when you think about those big, big power forwards who just jump out of the gym.
Well, I mean, one guy, and again, he's not necessarily an explosive leaper, but I think we've seen signs that he could be a very good player going forward. And we mentioned him earlier, Patrick Williams out of Florida. I think he was one of those guys that a lot of people had a lot of question marks about coming into the league, and he's a legitimately good player who's only going to get better. I think Kuminga is a slightly different type of player, but I do think Kuminga has the potential to be someone that I think in time is going to be pretty good. I don't expect him to set the world on fire or be a big-time impact guy day one, but I do think in another couple of years, I think he will be someone who's going to be able to help.
Is it?
You have 6'11 wingspan, got great length, great athleticism, and as Bobby mentioned,
how tall is he?
He's 6'7.
So I was going to say, I don't know if Okongwu is a guy that is similar to that from last year, but
he's more of a center. Yeah, this guy's a wing.
Okongwu's more of a big. Yeah,
that's what makes it such a good pick for the Warriors. I mean,
well, he's far away, so that's what makes it interesting for the Warriors. Is yeah. this guy's going to take some time to be a productive player? He's 18.
He can't shoot.
Yeah, and he can't shoot yet.
At all.
Not a facilitator, turns the ball over a lot still at this stage. Like, these guys who come out of the G League camp, and this is Green, too, like, they are very early in their development. These are high school players, essentially, coming to the NBA. Yeah, so, 1 year
in the G League. No, the thing about Kuminga is he's just a freakish athlete. Phenomenal. One of the best athletes in this draft. But obviously, you know, you in the perfect world, he developed the way, you know, the last freakish athlete that we saw was a guy named Giannis Antetokounmpo. That was real upper echelon. Now, is he going to be that good? I don't think so.
The thing that sets Giannis apart is still that 7 feet. Like, you can, unless you're a 7 foot wing, it's hard to call you a Giannis.
Right. But from an athleticism standpoint, though, Kuminga is special. But you're right. That's why Giannis fell to 15, because he grew a couple inches after folks scouted him. Our good friend Danny H.
It's interesting, Bobby. When you say that, when you're talking about how many every year, there's always that one really athletic wing who's your guy,
Joe Sway? There's a lot of them.
Well, no, I was thinking, like, literally as you were saying that, I was thinking about what everyone was saying about Jaylen Brown. Like, remember that? It's like, oh, he has the athleticism.
Yep.
He can't shoot. You know, they could have gone with a better pick. You could have got a shooter. You could have gone in. And then
Jamal Murray
translated. I mean, yeah, Jamal Murray is another one. And Jamal Murray, we didn't know he was going to be a point guard. You know, he wasn't drafted to be a point guard, but that's what happened. You know, when the Nuggets had a couple of injuries, and he sort of just took on that role, and everything opened up for him. But yeah, it's interesting because I think some of these guys, he could be one of those guys in a few years. You know, that blossoms. But of course, we don't see it right away. But the athleticism, the way he runs the floor, and the tools that he has are going to eventually blossom. But the guys that are picked between like 6 and 14. Like, whether they're role players or like everyday starters, is going to be interesting to see which.
I know a lot of people, and Bobby, you know, has been deeper into this draft. Kind of the vibe is like you're into a coin flip land now.
Quickly,
really quickly. Usually, you know, you feel, you know, you've got your 2-3 stars, you've got guys you really, really like up until 6, 7, 8, maybe all the way to 10. Sometimes up until like 12, you still have like a guy like Halliburton that people were really high on that went 12 last year. You know, I'm just saying, you know, so like sometimes it extends till about there and you see a drop in the early teens, end of the lottery. Here, that drop is actually pretty quick. And then that middle class, a lot of people are saying, like, I don't see a huge difference. This is why, again, Golden State 7 and 14 is almost like having two picks in the mid, you know, post lottery or late lottery. They're not massive assets in this particular draft. And here you are already drafting a very imperfect player at 7. And you can understand why, you know, everyone, you know, 7-14 and all these assets might get you big stuff. Maybe that just wasn't enough for some. Maybe you'd rather kick that can down the road, go future first, see if you get lucky in a Boston-Brooklyn scenario where the team friggin' tanks and those picks end up being a lot higher and better drafts. You see this draft now and you're like, I don't really want 7-14 in this draft. It's like trading me late firsts. I don't want them, you know? I don't know. Maybe that's part of their thinking. We'll see. So that's it.
They had a chance to trade him to Philly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Too much, anyways, I guess.
Kuminga goes 7th. Celtics pick 45th. We're going to wrap this show. We're going to come back, like I said, if there's major news or when the Celtics make a pick, which seems to be the more likely scenario. So we'll see what happens there. Guys, any final thoughts? So far, outside of the Westbrook stuff, really not, you know.
My final thoughts are I hope we come back for an emergency an emergency video. That's my final thought.
Yeah.
Hope the Celtics do not trade into the first.
Into the first.
Trade or just make Beal. A trade. Just
Marcus
any,
Smart.
Anything.
The chat was certain here Marcus Smart was going. They thought Marcus was going for a pick here. I don't know where he's getting that.
Marcus is not going anywhere.
I thought they were thinking about Beal. I thought that's what they were getting at.
No. So, again, just stay nimble, everybody.
I'm interested what's going on with Toronto. Obviously, that's a different thing. But
okay,
we'll
come
see
on.
I'm ready.
Take it to your
Listen,
Canadian.
Bobby Canada, just relax.
That's really Twitter account.
Take it to the CBC, buddy. We'll do that's a different.
That's not what we're doing here. Right?
That's not what we're doing here.
All right. See you in 3 hours at 45.
We will see you guys. I'm telling you guys now, I can tell you offline, but screw it. We're still talking here. You guys get, you call me if something big happens. Okay. Don't just assume I'm going to see it.
Seriously, that's Bobby's homework.
Oh, by the way, I am blogging this draft. If you want to follow along over at Boston Sports Journal tonight, so come join me over there while we're off the air here.
Yeah, blog away, my friend. Good stuff. So yeah, and Bobby, so people know here, is contributing now at Boston Sports Journal. You can catch that there and all of his stuff there. Obviously, Sherrod contributes and has contributed there in the past. So we're all one big happy family here. But you guys should absolutely go there and subscribe. Free plug. Why not? It's basically like 11 cents a day. Phenomenal sports coverage. Patriots is starting up right now. You're going to want to read Greg's stuff there as well. You know, Evan Lazar has been contributing some stuff as well, but there's a ton of stuff going on with your favorite teams. And everything's blowing up all at once. The Bruins obviously had a super interesting day. The Sox right now, you know, trade stuff. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yankees are trading for everybody.
You were at training camp today, John, weren't you?
Yeah. And I was at Patriots training camp today, which was a lot of fun. Cam outplayed Mac. That was interesting. But I mean, that's going to happen. You're going to have one day on, one day off. Interesting stuff for Mac Jones. I'll just throw this one out there. It is interesting watching how frustrated he gets. He makes a bad throw and he gets, you know, really? Like, yeah, down. He gets down.
Angry face.
Yeah.
Let's get that fire.
By the way, our old friend Mo Wagner being joined by his brother down in Orlando.
I saw that. Yeah, they took him.
The Wagner brothers.
Yeah.
Is it less fans at camp?
Less, by far.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's still good, and the vibe is good, and you see there's a good buzz there. It's honestly like, and after last year was like, it felt like it was like a hazmat situation. It was so controlled, and people were allowed to sit, and they were apart, and there was no fans. It was eerie and weird. This year is very, very close to normal. They've changed a couple of things, but it's more normal, just a little bit, you know, more mellow. But it's still fans. They're still out there. They're still into it. They're still watching. They're roaring when stuff happens. So it was pretty good. I love training camp. You know, it's
the best.
I can tell. Look at you. You can't stop smiling.
No, it's cool. It's cool. From a professional standpoint, also, you go through a little hibernation period in the summer post, you know, when the winter seasons end. And like, you know, for someone like myself who covers multiple sports, just showing up, it's the first time you kind of come out of the darkness a little bit and you're like, hey, what's up, guys? You know, and you see people and, you know, I saw some old NBC folk. They were complimenting this show, which was kind of cool, you know. You know, so we've got some people watching, which was great. But yeah, no, there's a ton going on in the sports world. So, you know, CLNS has you covered with everything, BSJ. You know, go ahead and subscribe there for their content. Evan Lazar on our YouTube channel literally talked about every frigging throw and every block made today. So if you want in-depth analysis, Evan is your guy. So go there and check that out too. So again, we'll see you guys soon. Or much, much later, you guys can tell me whether you want to be back offline. Bobby and I are coming back. He's going to do most of the talking after 45. I can guarantee you that. So thanks for joining, guys. And we'll see you guys later.